Breakfast Truth met Benita Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us in conversation to share insight on how we can participate in transforming our mindsets for the year ahead is founder of the Hatch Institute and the Solvay Group, Ian Furr. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Benita.
What in terms of transforming not only our mindsets and our businesses, how do we start this particular journey looking at the year ahead? Yeah,
right. So I think the most important thing is that we need to understand that transformation is about the only thing we can do in this country. There's not much else that we can do that's going to make a big difference anymore. We have to transform our mindsets, and at the Hatch Institute, our mantra is the transformation involves not only mindsets, but people and businesses and ultimately our country. And the key to macro transformation is that it all begins with the individual at the end of the day. You know, there's a wonderful quote I heard recently. It said, "Yesterday I thought I was clever, so I tried to change other people. But today I became wise and tried to change myself."
And why is it so important, Ian, sorry to jump in there, to focus on the individual and to change oneself?
Because I'm not going to change, you know, on a group level. We have to change it almost individually. Each person needs to have a good look at themselves, understand their biases, their prejudices, and all the challenges that we face in South Africa at the moment. Because obviously racial polarization, amongst other things, is a critical element of our future. We need to get that right. We seem to have struggled with that for the last 350 years. So if we can't get that right, I'm afraid that not much else is going to work. Racial polarization touches virtually every aspect of life, and that is all about the individual mindset. If we can start getting people to look at themselves, understand the need for change, And see how they can make a difference in this world of ours, hopefully we can then transform people, you know, at a larger scale. So it all begins with you at the end of the day. You know, if you look at an egg, for example, you take an egg. If you break the egg from the outside, you know, life ends because that chicken is not going to be born. But if you break the egg from the inside, when the chick is born, life begins. And I think that's really what we want to be doing, is we want to be changing from the inside out rather than trying to change other people. You know, trying to change others has never worked in South Africa. The only way that we can do this is to start changing ourselves.
And by changing ourselves, how do we reflect honestly around our personal biases? How can we hold that mirror up to us in an honest and accurate way?
We need to understand that we all have what I call a book of rules. And that book of rules is made up of all the paradigms and all of the information and things that you've learned since you were a child. You know, as you grow up, your parents initially, and then your family, and then your school, and then your university or college education, whatever it is, and then your life, employment, and getting married and having children. They all have lots and lots of lessons that you learn all along the way. And you store all these lessons in your mind, and I call that your book of rules, because your book of rules dictates your behavior. It dictates the way you think and behave and the things that you do. And in that book of rules, it's lots and lots of biases and prejudices and things that you've learned over the years, mainly from your parents to begin with, but from other sources as well, obviously, as we go along. And if you can then start to understand why you think the way you do, how did that actually transpire? Where did you get those thoughts from originally? And also, why are you so stuck in your beliefs? Why can't you see the other person's point of view? Because as long as you get stuck in your beliefs, I call that paradigm paralysis, where you cannot see the need for change. We have very little hope. But if we are more flexible with our thoughts and our paradigms and our biases, we can then start to say, okay, now I understand that there is a need for change and that there are other ways to see the world, not only my way. Because when we get stuck and we hold on up onto our beliefs, like some people do, we just cannot see the need for change. I always say that it's okay to have strong beliefs, but we must hold them loosely. because otherwise change will never happen. And yes, it does require that you come out of your comfort zone and you start to explore the world around you, and that everything is not based on you, but that there are other people in the world, and we need to recognize their place in the world and to make sure that everyone has an equal opportunity to progress and to develop and prosper in this country.
And there doesn't seem to be a way that one can escape this hard work. I mean, flexibility seems to be very key. And as much as it can sometimes limit and impact negatively our development, we certainly hold on dearly to our book of rules, because it forms, in a sense, the who we are. How do we see beyond that then?
We need to find the courage to listen. You know, you can never learn when you are speaking. You can only learn when you are listening. And you can only, you know, find out the other person's views when you are willing to listen to what they have to say. Unfortunately, this country is made up of millions of people that don't want to listen. They don't like to hear what the other views. They are so set in their own way of thinking that they don't really take into account that there might be a different way of looking at life. And so we have to find the courage to come out of our comfort zones and to find out from other people what their thinking is. What was their lives? How did they grow up in South Africa? What was the impact for them of living in this country? You know, we have this thing called white privilege, because it's real. White people definitely had privilege in South Africa. There's no question about that. So it's the white people that also need to understand the need for change and compromise, that they're not going to be able to hang on to that privilege forever, and they're going to have to share the wealth of this country with the rest of the people as well.
Yep.
It takes time to get to that point, and it takes courage.
Ian Furr, founder of the Hatch Institute, joins us in conversation this evening. So how then do we take that personal transformation, our personal journey, then into business to ensure that what we do in business is also transformative?
So we have to translate it into leadership in business, because the traditional leaders that have used a certain style of leadership over the years, it really hasn't worked well, and it's not fit for today or tomorrow's purpose. We need to be able to learn that we have to be a lot more holistic in our leadership style. It's no more the heavy-handed, top-down approach, you know, the leader that's all wise, all smart, all knowing, has to know everything, has to be in control of everything. That's yesterday's news. That's part of our history, no longer part of our future. The leader today that we call culture-driven leaders are people that take into account the socio-political environment. And in order for them to make an impact on their working environment and on the cultures of their companies, they have to also be able to transform themselves. So it's a matter of taking personal development and going on this sort of journey of self-discovery, and then translating that into your leadership style. You are not going to ever be able to earn the credibility and the trust and respect of your people if you haven't demonstrated your own ability to transform. So, you know, we always try to go out there and we try and explain to people why they must change. But that's the problem. That doesn't work. And I think we finally realized that.
Yeah.
So the only way we really earn respect is when we show our own willingness and ability to transform our mindset. And we call that earning the moral authority to lead. It's not the power-based authority that leaders get when they are at the top of an organization or of an infrastructure, but a moral authority that is earned. And you earn that authority by earning the trust and respect of your people, by creating a sense of belonging and common purpose in the organization, by showing a genuine concern for the well-being of people, and being totally committed to their growth and development, and perhaps most importantly, creating a place of safety in which people feel free to speak without fear. One of the biggest problems that exists in South African businesses is people are too afraid to speak up and to share their views, so we never get to hear what they're thinking, and how we should change. So we just continue as it is because we think everything's okay. Mm. Nobody's saying anything. So we need to be able to create that place of safety where people feel, okay, I am part of this organization. I have a sense of belonging. I feel that I'm being treated with respect and dignity and equality and fairness. And therefore, I'm willing to speak up and share my views and give my perspective on life and on business.
Yeah, and that once again highlights how important not only our own personal development is, but as you point out early in that phrase, describing the type of leadership that is effective, culture-driven leaders, and that's yes. or underpinning that common purpose or tying it all together will be the environment that you are able to create.
Absolutely. So it's really important that we get the individual's purpose. You know, each person needs to understand why they come to work. Why are they there? What are they doing there in the first place? And what is their purpose? And sometimes we have a company purpose and we say, this is what we want to do. But we ignore the individuals and their purposes. So we need to establish, and this is what we do with our work at Hatch, is we ask people to explore their own journeys and to say, why am I doing this? What is my reason for being? Why am I here? And what do I hope to achieve? And once we get people to understand that they come to work to serve and not to make money, that's when the change starts to happen. Because then the principle of service and the purpose of service starts to align more with the company purpose. But if the company is trying to serve its customers and the people are more interested in their earnings and how much they're going to make, those two things are not aligned. And there's not going to be much success in that scenario at all. So it's really important that everyone has a purpose, and that purpose must be aligned with the company purpose. And then we can go out there, we call that a common purpose, because mostly there's not much commonality. You know, management comes to make a profit, and they just focused on the money. And, of course, the staff come to earn the salary, and they also focused on the money. And there's an inherent conflict of interest right from the start there. Because both parties want more money. And so, you know, we then get the unions involved and it just goes from bad to worse. So no alignment whatsoever.
Lastly, Ian, has COVID not highlighted that the importance around being not only people-centered but having that common purpose?
Absolutely, particularly now with the equality gap and the income gap in South Africa that is so wide. It's one of the widest in the world, as I understand. We are now really seeing the impact of that and the millions and millions of people that are unemployed. So from a business point of view and from an individual's perspective, there is a moral duty that we have in this country to uplift the people and to create that equality. And so leadership today has to understand it cannot only be about money, about profits, about shareholder returns. That is not going to get us anywhere. If that's the only focus that we have, I can guarantee you it's not going to be successful. But if we can get everybody on board to say, I come to work to serve my customers, and the management is also there to serve, we call it servant leadership as part of the culture-driven leadership, and if everybody is serving, then we have some sort of alignment, and then, you know, we can create a win-win situation. And hopefully at the end of the day, we can start to see a more normal society where everybody has access to the economy, has access to opportunities, and then people can go out there and prosper and make a good living.
Ultimately benefiting beautiful South Africa. Founder.
Absolutely.
Founder of the Hatch Institute and the Solvay Group, Ian Furr. Appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much for joining us, Ian.
And thank you, Benita. Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.